Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and God bless you. Welcome to Morning Manna. Excuse me, with your host, Apostle Diane Chappelle, on this kind of brisk Sunday morning, calling from the great gate city of Detroit, praying that you awaken to a great day. Pray that you've had a great week. And if not, we pray peace over those troubling places. Amen. And we pray strength over today as you are positioned under God's grace, bring you into perfect alignment simply because of his love for you. Amen. So we celebrate you today. Father, we do bless you. We do honor you. We do magnify you. We do honor you. We do love you. We do enter into this day with thanksgiving, and we enter into your courts with praise, and we just rejoice in who you are and who you are becoming even more as we encounter you in our daily walk. We just give you praise. We thank you for this opportunity to come and to come together and to share your greatness, your manifold goodness, your glory, and your grace among us. We do give you praise. We thank you for the blood of your Son, our Savior, our friend, our brother, who has brought redemption to the world. And we thank you, Lord, for our coming alongside of him in this hour. And once again, we give you praise. We thank you for the operations of Holy Spirit. As Holy Spirit, you're moving and giving wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in this thing called life. And for that, we rejoice. Thank you, Father, for every individual that is hearing this broadcast, will hear this broadcast, and we give you praise for their life. We give you praise for their purpose. We give you praise for their ministries, whether it's church-connected or service in the world. We just give you praise, each and every one of them. So, Father, we just rejoice as you bring us together in this hour. Anoint this word that you have released in this hour. We give you praise once again for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, once again, good morning. And thank you for being present this morning. Some good things, great things are going on. And I am just, once again, excited as I see what the Lord is doing in this season and those wake-up moments that he is fond of sharing. I don't know about you, but every now and then, you know, you kind of get stuck in the rut and you kind of get pinned up against the wall and you wonder what next, and then all of a sudden God shows up with his revelation. When I say it shows up, not that he's been anywhere, but he just releases his revelation that brings you this aha moment. And that force that was trying to keep you pinned to whatever it is that was trying to negatively impact you finds itself now subservient to you, glory to God, because you have found him in your place of trouble. God is always, he's just always faithful. So rejoice in him. That was one of those mornings. Amen. Glory to God. But I wanted to share with you because of some things that are, wow, that are happening in this season. They're happening so fast that you almost have to have an open recorder around your neck to grab hold of what you're thinking, what he's saying, and how they're coming together. It's almost rushing to get a notepad and a pen just to keep up with revelation that God has given in this hour. So we are definitely in that place. And so I wanted to share some things with you today that would help bring some peace. If you don't need peace, then direction. If you don't need direction, then, well, God. Amen. Because we all need it, glory to God, in this season and many other seasons. We have just entered into Rosh Hashanah. We celebrated Rosh Hashanah, rather, the ninth from the sundown on the 9th of September to sundown on the 11th. And Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year, or the Jewish New Year, if you would say, the main Jewish New Year. It's the blowing of, it's the Feast of the Trumpets. It's the, it's when the year changes. So at Rosh Hashanah, we went from 5778 to 5779. And I'm not teaching on that, but just to inform you that that this year is the year of transition. It's the year of birthing. It's the year when what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning to good. It's one of those good years, and then all of God's years are good. I think our stumbling block is when we do not understand what messaging he has given in his months, the messages that he's giving, the messaging that he's releasing. And because we don't know what he's saying, sometimes we miss an opportunity to be victorious, because what he is saying is going to encounter us somewhere along the path. And so when we have an understanding of various months, and we understand that this is a year of transition and a year of birthing and a year where God the ending of the evil, God is turning to good, to me that's valuable information. Amen. I need to know that, because how many of you seem to be in a place of pregnancy all the time? Amen. Well, pregnancy has a gestation. It ends in 9 months. And so God is in this place. It's even the month of the ninth, the year of the ninth. So God is moving to bring us into a place of greater revelation, greater understanding, causing us to move in greater places, all this activity. I think one of the hindrances that we experience too often is that we stay stuck in a place and we don't move, and we fail to follow the cloud. And our friend just says, a monument is where God was, a movement is where he is. Amen. And so we have to make sure that we stay ready, roll, that we can get up and move when he says move, and not we get stuck in old places. And I think the greatest frustration is to be stuck in old places when new things are happening, which creates a greater frustration for the one that's stuck in old places. Amen. Because now you aren't moving. You aren't in the current. You aren't in the flow, because God has shifted. The river has turned and it's going in another direction. So we have to be attentive that we are allowing him to bring us along as we understand that he's forever moving, he's forever flowing, and he's forever bringing us into purpose. Amen. So I wanted to share some things this morning, and I mean literally, I just woke up with this revelation. My episode information is transitioning from church age to kingdom age, the disruption. And any of you that have not felt or does not feel at the moment that there might be some disruption in your life, then pinch yourself. Amen. And make sure you're still among the living. Glory to God. Because if you live and move and have your being in this earth, there is some disruption that is hitting your life, or if it's not in your life, it's hitting so close to where you are that you're responding, reacting, experiencing the disruption. I quickly, you know, how you know the meaning of a word, but I like to look at how it's worded in the dictionary. And disruption is to throw into confusion or disorder. Glory to God. To interrupt or impede the progress of to break apart or alter so as to prevent normal or expected functioning. Anybody that cannot relate to that, you probably need to just hang up. Glory to God. And because if that doesn't hit us right square in between the eyes, I don't know what does. And so transmission brings disruption. And disruption is uncomfortable. It's not a great place to be. Disruption cuts across our soul. It's not where our will, our mind, our emotions care to engage. You know, our soulish realm wants to stay real comfortable where it is. Do not bother me. Do not agitate me. Do not call me forth to do anything. And then how many know that the Holy Ghost, though, is the one that prods us and stirs us and gives us places. And sometimes we don't know that it's him that's allowing some things to happen. We think it's life that's causing these things. It's the job. No, it's the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Disrupting some things to get you into some places where you can function for the purpose in which you have been created in the earth. One of the greatest damages, I would think, of the religious spirit is to keep us contained in a place on a given day of the week or a given 2 days of the week and not give us any indication of how to apply that which we have has been revealed, if it's been revealed, how to apply it to the rest of the week. So we spend more of our hours in mammon, glory to God. We spend more of our hours encountering Babylon and more often falling victim to Babylon than we do in the victory of the kingdom, the victory of who we have become in Christ or who we are becoming, because we have been contained in a place that has purposefully brought us into a place of shutdown so that we cannot function in the earth. And so what God is doing, he's allowing some disruptions to come across our path to get us stirred up so that we can move forward and move ahead with what God has called us to do. So we have to look, we have to take another look at these things that are happening to us in life that we call negative. We have to take another look, and we all will afford that definition. We will all say that this negative thing has come against me, when actually that negative thing has probably come for you, okay, to bring you into a positive position. We can't, I just saw a washing machine with an agitator. Oh, my goodness, okay. Back in the day, those washing machines, they had to have some agitation to get the clothes clean, amen. And sometimes we have to have some agitation, okay, to get us in a place of perfection so that we can be as close, so they can be presentable to wear, so we can be presentable. You know, Holy Ghost is funny, so got it. But anyway, that's funny. But yeah, we need an occasional agitation. We need an occasional disruption, because it kind of clears out our senses. Amen. It gets you to a place that you don't mind hollering help, and you don't care who hears it. Come help this thing right here. I can't keep that under the cover. This has to come out. Something has to happen. So this is where we are. This is where we are in transition. And one of the greatest traps that we will find ourselves in when we're in the place that is actually to bring us into a greater place is to not to know the process that we're going through. Somebody write that down. Amen. The greatest trap is to feel that the trap you're in has been sent to destroy you, when actually it's been sent to catapult you into next steps. Amen. The agitation is to clean you up, fix you up, position you for next steps. Agitation sometimes is that which is getting you to the next step. God sees that you're ready to move forward and you're to move upward. And so sometimes we're too slow in getting there, so he allows a little agitation, amen, to get us there. One thing about agitation, it will never kill you. Glory to God. Amen. One thing about disruption, it will never kill you when it's under the hand of the Father. And even that, disruption has not been meant to kill, to disturb, sure, but to kill, no way. So we grab hold of those things, and we have to hold on. I was listening to a teaching the other day, and the apostle was talking about Abraham, and how Abraham was promised these blessings that God promised him in Genesis. But Abram had to plunder his enemies of those blessings to manifest, though they were his. And they were going to always be his, and no one was going to take them from us. But he had to plunder. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we're called to plunder. Amen. So the enemy, they would try to take our stuff. Amen. Sometimes we do not fall the victim to those negative things that are happening, but it should put some more steel in our back, if you would, and more determination in our steps and more determination in our soul, and tell the devil, keep pushing me, and you getting ready to get plundered. Amen. We have to take a new view. We have to take another view. We have to look, because the enemy knows the only way, listen, the only way God's people will become a victim in this world is we have to come in agreement with victimization of the enemy. Because the enemy knows the only way to get us off track is to victimize us to the place that we come in agreement with the victimization. Somebody need to tell the devil that you should have never told me that today, amen, because I'm not getting ready to receive your victimization. I'm getting ready to plunder. Come on, somebody. I'm getting ready to plunder that will come against me, because once again, I'm not walking in this earth by myself. I have a great army backing me, and not only in the earth but in eternity, amen. One unit moving forward, an army moving forward in the earth to accomplish the task that we've been given, is to bring the kingdom to bear on the earth. Amen. Hold somebody's hand. So, listen, sometimes the disruption is the best place for us to be if we understand that disruption is not the end. It's the beginning. Amen. There had to be a wilderness before there could be a promised land. Somebody hear me. Glory to God. There had to be a Moses before Joshua could manifest. Amen. You need to hear me, okay? There had to be trouble before there could be peace. Amen. There had to be defeat before there could be victory. Amen. And we have to balance our thoughts. We have to balance our understanding. If you're going through something, it doesn't mean that you just go through and grit your teeth and bear it. No, sometimes going through means to ask God a question. Okay, what's up? What's happening here? What do I need to know? What do I need to do? Or whatever. You need to engage. If we do not open up and engage in a conversation, we could never hear what God has to say. Amen. Amen. So this is where we are. This is where we all are. And we're here in different stages, but we all here for one purpose, to get God's purpose in the earth, so that we can bear witness to who he is, and not only bear witness to who he is, but set captives free so they can bear witness as to who he is. Amen. Wow. So that's where we are. So as I was awakening this morning, a scripture came to me that from a sermon I preached a long time ago, and a verse of scripture I've always used. And I've always loved, like I've never loved a lot of them, but some of them just hit you in the right place. And that's that Deuteronomy 32:11. It talks about the eagle spirit is nest. Amen. I remember the first time I preached that, I guess I was so caught up in the Holy Ghost, and I was preaching from a pulpit in my home church in a robe, and I had a girlfriend sitting in the in the pew, and she said at one point she actually thought I was going to fly. Amen. As my movement took the swirling of that rope, and we had it going on. Amen. But the eagle stirs his nest, and we're going to look at that. But it's the description of the victory that comes out of hard places that becomes our encouragement once again, and the thing that we hold on to. See, the enemy can't throw us no further than we will allow him to throw, okay, or allow ourselves to be thrown, amen. The enemy can't take any ground unless we give it to him, amen. He doesn't have, we're carrying the image and likeness of God. So the enemy has never been able to overthrow, overpower, outwork God, amen. So we're carrying his image, the Father's image and likeness, and that means, by rule, the enemy should not be able to overpower, overthrow, outwit us. Amen. We need to outwitting the enemy, outwitting the devil instead of the other way around. But anyway, the eagle stirs his nest. But to go in that, before I really look at that particular verse, I was led to Exodus 19, and I just want to read that. Read through 19 verses 1 through, I believe, through 6. And I'm actually reading that out of the Jewish study Bible. On the third new moon, after the Israelites had gone forth from the land of Egypt, on that very day they entered the wilderness of Sinai, having journeyed from Rephidim. They entered the wilderness of Sinai and encamped in the wilderness. Israel encamped there in front of the mountain, and Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob and declare to the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I have how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to me. Now then, if you will obey me faithfully and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. Indeed, all the earth is mine, but you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel." Wow. And just as I read that, I saw something as the Holy Ghost does. It always excites me. Is on the third new moon after the Israelites had come forth from the land of Egypt, on that very day they entered the wilderness of Sinai. Okay. They stepped out of one place and entered into another place. They stepped out of one place of challenge and defeat and stepped into another place of challenge, and they could well be defeat. Amen. That space of time there was no space of time. Says on that very day, so there was no rest. There was no thinking about what God had did. There was no thinking about where they had been. There was no thinking about the transitions they were in. There was no thinking about future steps. There was no thinking, because they were moving into a place that would be a place of captivity, amen, of another sort, called the wilderness, amen. So sometimes we can feel like we're moving from out of one trap into another, but actually we're moving out of one place of preparation to another place of preparation. Everything God does with us and everything he allows to happen to us can be listed under the word preparation. You've got to know that everything God does, everything that is allowed to happen, is a place of preparation. And whether or not we're victorious in that preparation is dependent on whether or not we learn the lesson well, okay, or if we're following the trail that he's led out before us, and we're remembering that we aren't walking through this thing alone, but we're walking in the company of greatness. These issues, these places are actually, in many instances, the very thing that would draw us closer to God in intimacy and communion, the very thing that will give us the desire to walk with him in the cool of the day as Adam did, that very thing that helps us to understand the change that's happened to us from the inside out simply because of his presence in our lives. So those very agitations, amen, can lead us into those places if we but know that that is available to us, if we but know that that is the other side of the coin. And what the enemy is busy doing, as we know, and as you heard me say all the time, is to keep us oblivious to the other side of the coin, that it's just the defeat, it's just the problem, it's just the issue. This is the only thing that we have going on in this moment of time. This is it. This solidifies. There's nothing more. But yet on the other side of the coin. And the Holy Ghost is saying, flip the coin, flip the coin, flip the coin. Glory to God. There's something on the other side that's not only going to balance. We're not talking about balancing the enemy. We're talking about subduing him. Glory to God. We're talking about plundering him. Amen. That he leaves us for a season, just like he left Jesus for a season. Excuse me. He's always coming back, tempting, trying to get victory out of our defeat. But the only way that happens is we allow it. Amen. The only way it happens, we allow it. And listen, my brothers and sisters, when those seasons of disruption come, the Father's not expecting you to work it out. He's not expecting you to sit down and hold our heads in our hand and try to figure out the disruption. No, the disruption is to lead us to the Holy Ghost. The disruption is to lead us to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The disruption is to lead us to the one that has an answer to next steps. And what we go into this, I do it myself. I'd rather do it myself. I got this. I can work this. No problem. I can hang here. No, you can't. No, you can't. That's why you're sitting there with your head in your hand. Because we have gotten to this place and we can't go any further. But yet we can if we know that who's waiting for to get our attention so he can take us to another place. Amen. So this transition, it may seem that you're coming from your Egypt to the wilderness, but no, you're processing forward. Amen. Because in that wilderness is where the encounter would come for the future residence, if you would, of the promised land. You've got to get through the wilderness to get to the promised land. Amen. One of the greatest violations, even in our teaching in religion, if you would, is prosperity gospel. You know, just ask it in Jesus' name and it's going to show up. No, God never said he was going to 7-Eleven. He never said that. He's already determined the process. But when we have minds thinking that we can call it and it just shows up, then what we deny the reality that you got a wilderness that you've got to go through before you get to the promised land. If there's no wilderness and you go to the straight to the promised land, how do you know how God operates in the wilderness of your life? So that you're in this promised land, and this promised land that you have created, called the prosperity message. And then when the bottom falls out, you don't know who to call or what to do because you never had the encounter with him in the wilderness. We had this flash, you know, this flash, this movement. Quickly, give me this, and all this is doing actually is placating our soul. It's not doing anything to our spirit man. Not bringing us into alignment with what God is trying to teach us so that we can process through this thing called life. We have to always remember that everything that happens to us is part of a process of getting us into the next step in God. I'm saying everything, even our rest and recuperation, everything is part of the process of getting us into our purpose in God, why we're in the earth, how do we steward the earth, how do we steward the gift that we've been given, how do we maintain in seasons of defeat, if we try to figure it out on ourselves, we'll never figure it out. So everything, as I said before, is to draw us into conscious reality, conscious understanding that we are moving in this earth by way of the purpose and promise and practices of God. Amen. So this needs to be some encouragement. And then the other thing, if we weren't going through these things, then that would say to me that God would say he had no need of us. Amen. Well, we know that's not true. Okay, so everything that's happening is for the purpose of bringing us into alignment with him. The thing we have to understand, though, is that it's not something that we do. It's something that we allow him to do. Amen. It's not something that we do in our self-will. It's something we allow the Holy Spirit to do that shifts our self-will. See, the self-will was what got Adam in trouble. Amen. Adam didn't have a sin nature. You've heard me say this before, because there was no sin in the earth. And Adam's self-will, his disobedience, created sin for everybody else who would be born. Amen. It broke his relationship with the Father. But he operated out of a self-will. That self-will that Adam had, he got the same self-will that the Holy Spirit is trying to engage to bring it in alignment with the purpose and plan of God so that we do not operate out of our mind, will, and our emotions. Amen. We operate out of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That he is our leader and our guide. Excuse me. I hope that's helping. Get us to that place where we can capture. So once again, the Israelites had gone forth from the land of Egypt, and on that very day they entered the wilderness of Sinai. And having journeyed from Rephidim, they entered the wilderness of Sinai and encamped in the wilderness. Israel encamped there in front of the mountain, and Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and declare to the children of Israel." Now, before I go forth, they're in the wilderness with the mountain. Amen. They're in the wilderness with God. There's no place we find ourselves in life that God is not there. Amen. He's there. He's ever present. He said, he promised he would always be there. He would never leave us or forsake us. So even in our wilderness moments, he is still there. That's another trick that the enemy works. And it's really not a trick. Well, it is, but it's a deadly trick, because the enemy works our wilderness to keep us absent from the reality that there is a God in the wilderness that is approachable. Amen. That we can, not like the Israelites, not wanting to go there, wanting to send Moses, but the place is an open door. The vent has been rent, the veil has been rent, to give us an open opportunity to enter in wherever we are. Amen. And then get to that place that we should be living behind the veil. That's another message, but that is a present reality. Amen. So Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and declare to the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians." Amen. "How I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to me. Now then, if you will obey me faithfully and keep my covenant, you shall be mine. Treasured possession among all the peoples." Amen. So once again, what God is saying, the Father is saying, bear witness. And we all have a witness bearing place. Amen. There's a place in the wilderness that we have had an encounter. There's a place in our Egypt, if you will, that we have had an encounter with God. We have seen what he has done to that last thing that tried to restrict us, or that last thing that tried to overthrow us, or that last thing that tried to destroy us. All you have to do is just look back. You know, some of you don't have to look back that far. Amen. You can look back to yesterday, actually, in many instances, and see where that thing that was meant to destroy you, God has arrested it. Come on, somebody. God has arrested it. Glory to God, and allowed you to see him arrested. Amen. That's where your testimony comes from. Those arresting points, places in God. This is good. Amen. Because we have to be able to visualize those things. See, one of the problems that we encounter is that by us not being consciously attuned to those places where God shows up, instead of internalizing that last victory point in him, instead of it becoming an automatic part of our being, not anything that I have to recall, but something that is so real that it operates in our daily encounter with life. It's so real that it may not be something that I process by thought, but it's so real that it's evidence in my walk. Somebody hear what I'm saying? It becomes part of me. Amen. God wants to become part of us, not something we pull up on a Sunday or pull up on a Wednesday, but something that's constant in us. Amen. That we move constantly, and every time the enemy tries to shake the boat, we plunder, glory to God, because of the reality that we have engaged in as we have come into this place. Wow, talk about a frog in the throat this morning. But so he wants us to be, once again, cognizant of that. The enemy wants us to hide and cloak those negative places. He wants us to wrestle with him all by ourselves. He wants us to think about him. He wants us to engage him. He wants us to, in our carnality, in our limitation, amen, he wants us to wrestle. And he knows that if we wrestle from that place, we are fighting a losing battle. We'll never do it without the assistance of God. We'll never do it without the assistance of Holy Spirit speaking wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and giving direction in those hard places, in those difficult seasons. Amen. So we have to see that. And listen, we've got to get this because many of you are leaders that understand that there are those who are going down for the third time simply because they have not been afforded the correct direction. They have not been given direction. They have not been discipled. They have not been brought along the realities of the truths that come in our engagement, in our communion, in our intimacy with God. They are totally oblivious to it. Well, somebody's got to help them find their way, and we can't help them find their way if we have difficulty finding our way. And so God is saying, I need a remnant of people raised up in this hour that will help those that have come that are following the wrong path simply because they have not been given direction to the right path. We have to be careful in how we judge too, how we judge what people say and how they believe and what they teach. Because you hear me say it all the time, you can only teach what you've been taught. And you can only lead by the way of the path that you've been led. You can't, and you don't know what era may have been received simply because if you don't, listen, if I have a choice between an apple and an orange, and the only thing I'm presented with is an orange, well, I'm going to take the orange, and it could be the apple. I don't know that there's another option. I don't know there's another choice. So you give me the orange and tell me the apple. It's an apple. And so that's what I believe because I have never experienced apple. Hear what I'm saying? So that I go along passing the orange to others saying this is an apple. Amen. And this, my brothers and sisters, what's happened with the word that's supposed to be the word coming from God, this is what's happened, that error has overruled truth. In many instances, amen, and people are being fed oranges and being told they're apples simply, and many times because the one that's doing the feeding really believes that they're handing them an apple because that's what they were told. You hear what I'm saying? So that means we don't have time to find fault. We have to make sure that we got the apple and the orange and we know the difference so that we can speak truth to error, amen, and I've been hammering that for since about 2010, 2011, it's time to speak truth to error so that those that are bound in error can come out the truth. Listen, the saddest thing to see is someone who's passionately teaching error. I mean passionately, with everything in them, teaching error, believing what they're teaching is true. Amen. And yet releasing error to an audience that's receiving error, that's going to turn and release error. You know what I'm saying? So it's time out for being in a so-called comfortable place or a place where we are just struggling with the struggle. We have to understand that in that struggle is our victory so that we can be in that place to speak truth to individuals. If it's over a coffee at McDonald's or Starbucks, it makes no difference. We didn't have to bring out the Bible and pound the table and put on a collar. And all, we just need to be the carriers of truth that bear witness to truth so that individuals that have bought the lie, okay, will be awakened to truth. Glory to God. And that's not a season to come. We're living in that right now. We're living in that right now. I am not out on Facebook as much. I pop in and out every once in a while, but some of this teaching that I am seeing and hearing that supposedly the gospel message is so far removed from gospel, but these individuals and mostly what I'm seeing are the younger generation. They are speaking with passion and compassion, but it's error. amen, who's representing truth? Glory to God. Who is taking truth and giving it, mixing it with that same passion that they're carrying? They aren't looking to release error. They think they're releasing truth. And somebody has to bear witness to what truth is. But I can't bear witness to truth if I don't know truth myself. Amen. So we have to make that sacrifice for generations. Amen. For not just our generation, not for just our children and our children's children, but our children's children's children, but for everybody else's children and their children's children. Because how do we know that somebody's child is not going to end up being married to our child? Amen. And one has truth and one has error. No, our responsibility is to the generation, not just to the family line, but to the generation. Amen. Yes, we started the family first because that's our assignment. So, but so is the earth our assignment. Amen. So we just move according to the way the Holy Spirit has given definition so that we can flow in that manner. I hope this is helping you guys this morning. So, and the rest of that, Exodus 19, he says, my treasure possession among all the peoples is thee, all the earth is mine, but you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel. Amen. Now, I know that appears to be a long way from Deuteronomy 32:11, but actually it's not, because it goes together. Because in that Deuteronomy 32, looking at the 10th verse, says, he found him in a desert region, in an empty, howling waste. He encircled him, watching over him, guarding him as the pupil of his eye, like an eagle who rouses his nestlings, gliding down to his young. So did he spread his wings and take him, beat him along on his pinions. The Lord alone did guide him, no alien god at his side. Amen. Once again, that's Deuteronomy 32, 10 and 11. And so we're talking about, 10, 11, and 12, okay. I'm talking about the eagle stirs her nest. And when the eagle stirs her nest, you know, when it's time for the eaglet to fly, if they don't fly in the time that the mother determines that they should be flying, they load the nest with little prickly sprigs and branches and stuff, make it real uncomfortable for them to stay there. And then at the appointed time, the eagle will stir up the nest and flip the eaglets out, amen, to soar. But one thing about that eagle, she'll watch that eaglet, and if that wing spread doesn't happen at the exact moment in time, she soars down up under it and she catches it so it does not destroy up on the crags or the mountains. Amen. And so the same thing is happening with us sometimes as I went back to that disruption. Those disruptions are like the stirring of the eagle's nest. Amen. Disruptions can be uncomfortable. Those things that come alongside of us, distractions and the deceit of the enemy and encounters with life, regular encounters with life can be destructive, if you would, and disruptive, I should say. And so it's in those seasons that God allows those disruptions to that we engage life through those stirrings, through those disruptions. And so when those come, they're not to destroy us; they're to prepare us, because now it's time for us to soar. It's time to take flight. It's time to do what we were designed to do, not only from the time of creation, but even more so from the redemption of the cross that would bring us back into our exact engagement with the Father, that we would, once again, and you know you're going to hear me say it, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, rule, and dominate the earth. It has not changed. It will never change. This is what we've been sent into the earth to do. And so God gives us from that place of redemption, from that place of the cross, to get realigned and so that we can function in that pattern that he has created. Now, listen, and it's not, it's an impossible thing for us to do alone and by ourselves because we don't have all the pattern pieces. We don't have all the puzzle pieces. God never gave any one of us the whole plan. He gave us the plan, but he does not give us all the operating points that we would need in order to accomplish what needs to be done. So we have to understand that we have been brought into this place so that he could fulfill our purpose for being in the earth, which is to bring his purpose in the earth, that we would be in that place to fulfill it so that we can move forward in the season. So these disruptions, these uncomfortable places are really places that are signals to you that now it's time to, that God finds you, that you are positioned now to fly, to soar, to become that which you have been sent into the earth to become. So that means that in some instances, you've got to break some ties. You have to cut some tentacles. You have to destroy some things. I tell people all the time, especially those coming out of denominational settings. Or when I say denomination, I don't mean just, I'm not identifying just a particular religious group. I'm talking about anything that has walls to it. I don't care if you call it a sect or a denomination or whatever. Anything does not have the body fitly joined together. Anything that separates one segment of the body from the other. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. So I don't want anybody to say, what you talking about, the Baptist? No, I'm talking about everybody. Oh, okay. That is in a place where there's a dividing wall. Wow. That's exactly, think about that. That's exactly what that is, a dividing wall, something that has been put up to divide and to block. Divide, block, to divide, block, and hinder, to weaken, to destroy. Amen. That the enemy would rule and reign in the place where we are to rule and reign. Amen. So we can't be entangled in that unless we've been assigned to that. Amen. What is she talking about? Amen. That place, that religious spirit, that place where the religious spirit, amen, I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about religious spirit, is a place that binds people in a place where there's no freedom. There's just nothing that they can do. They're bound. Amen. And once again, one of the greatest mistakes that can happen is when God, and God will release some people out of there because he is preparing them to be a voice and preparing them to be an illustration, a teacher, or whatever, to help others be set free, creating them to be a mentor. It's for many different reasons that the Father will remove someone from a comfortable place. Amen. But we also have to understand that once we've been indoctrinated in those places, you just don't walk out the door and all of a sudden you just change and you just become a new creature and you just begin to flow. No, you still have we still have influences that have to be cut, destroyed. We still have tentacles of the old that have to be arrested, severed, removed. We still have mindsets. Hear me, that have to be re-altered, changed, amen, so that we become truth bearers in the real sense of the word. We can't just jump out of that and jump into this freedom mode. We have to be walked into it by the processes of the Holy Spirit that takes us into the places that we are broken from tradition, amen, broken from tradition, and now be engaged and used by God to help others get free from the spirit that has been sent in to keep a people bound. Amen. When Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to, and this is what I'm talking about, that there's an anointing to deliver, to heal, to set captives free, to break them out of places. But you can't, we can't do it if we're still in captivity. We can't do it if we're still brokenhearted. We can't do it if we're still in the place of that, those who have been victimized. So we do it when we've been set free, cut free, and now moving under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit in order to speak that truth to air and help captives. And listen, you aren't delivering them from people. I mean, we have to be so careful in our understanding. No, it's not the people that we're delivering from. It's a spirit. Just have all the people captive, from the pulpit to the pew, everybody. It's the spirit that has influenced captivity. We've got to feel that. We got to hear that and understand that. This is why we have to have kingdom eyes. We have to look past the things that we see on the earth and see things from a kingdom perspective. If we do not see it from a kingdom perspective, we will always see it from our own, and our perspective is always judgmental. It has to be, because our perspective, if it's not connected with the kingdom, is connected with our soulish realm. It's connected with the old man. It's connected with our carnal nature. It has to be connected with eternity. It has to be connected with who we are, being new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. I hope that's helping many, if not all of you. Because God, what God is doing now, he's raising up the standard for teaching to come forth. And not just teaching because I've got this revelation. No, the revelation has to be applied. And applied means it has to be walked in and with us first before we can help somebody else walk in it. Amen. The Lord said something the other day, and I took it as a rebuke. Because he said that application is movement. Okay, you can't have the thought revelation without application is information. That's good. That's good. But if you aren't moving in the application portion, if you aren't changing, if you aren't shifting some things, if you aren't coming out of some place things and going into some place of things, if you aren't making yourself uncomfortable to benefit the people, then we haven't moved in transition yet. We know the definition, but we have not activated it. Amen. And so it's time now to activate it. Amen. There are people that won't hear you from, and when I say you, I'm not speaking of you personally, but will not hear the church from within the church because they're not going in there. Amen. So if they aren't going in there, when are they going to encounter God? When are they going to encounter the messenger? Amen. They aren't going to necessarily go to a home Bible study. The very use of the word Bible and study sends them back to thinking of old things that made them uncomfortable. So what is the Holy Spirit devising? What is he saying? What language is he saying that we need to use for those that are looking for houses and places of refuge? How do you circumvent what the enemy has done through the quote-unquote religion structure, the religious structure of brick and mortar and separation walls and division? How do you get across that into get a hearing, if you would, for those that have been held hostage by those that are even now moving in fear, not knowing what to do? What they don't know what to do because no one ever told them there was any option for anything for them to do. Do y'all hear me? Oh, okay. Do you hear me this morning? Amen. So God is, and some of you are getting your disruptions are getting a little more often because he needs you, like, quickly. Hurry up, get it together so we can move, but you can't move without him. Okay, you can't move without him because on the other end of that, and other than that movement, is that cord from that tradition that you're in pulling back and tugging and trying to pull you back in there before you can get away. Okay, it's you move out a little bit and it quickly arrests you and pull you back. Amen. Nobody's just going to jump out and jump into a teacher mode and all of a sudden just going to start speaking truth to air. No, you're going to battle. Amen. But as long as we know that we're battling, we know that we're victorious in it, and we understand why the battle. Amen. See, it's not so much that it's not the battle that that defeats us. It is the reason for the battle that can destroy us. If we don't know why we're in the battle, amen, it has a lot to do with whether or not we're going to plunder. It has a lot to do with the fight. It has to do with determination that we have. We muster up. It has something to do with the coming together with the army that we're fighting with. It the whole mindset thing is guided by, or the battle is guided by the mindset in which we enter in, and in which we maintain and sustain. Amen. It's almost like, is it worth fighting for? Okay, and the answer is yes. Okay, so this is where we are. This is where God is moving, and so you're going to see Him stir you and bring you into places that are agitation, but it's agitation that gets you into a place of revelation, so that you can begin to sit with us at the feet of Jesus under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and begin to strengthen or taught or whatever those things that are needful so that we can be a sound to the generation that will bring them out of bondage, out of darkness, into marvelous light. Amen. So this is what we are. This is what we're entering in. I am even looking at other media and other ways to get my voice out and help others get their voices out. Whether it's through conference calls, whatever media the Lord has allowed man to create, glory to God, we can use that as a messaging place to get truth out, to override error, so that captives can be set free, so that you, my brothers and sisters, can go and be the ones that help, be the agents that help set captives free. But we will not set anybody free as long as we're bound. Amen. And we will always be bound if we do not realize the intent of the enemy is to keep us Egypt-minded. Amen. And wilderness confessionals, okay, that we all excuse me, always have the language of the wilderness instead of the language of the transition from the wilderness to the promised land. Amen. So I'm going to end there. I think that's food for thought for all of us. And but to keep your ear out, ear in tune for some additional teachings and things that I'm going to be doing that will reach an audience. There's some, even over in Africa, there's some people that are waiting for some teaching to come out of the U.S. that will strengthen them. They aren't looking for any hooping or any preaching. They're looking for teaching. They're looking for sound doctrine. They're looking for apostolic doctrine to give them what they need to structure them in their walk. So with that, we want to close, but I also want to pray for our family and friends and the family and friends of the Father that are in the Carolinas, and they're subjected to that storm that's raging down there. I found a in the Isaiah 29, I believe it is. Psalm 29. I'm moving back and forth. I may lose a couple of you guys because my time is running out. But in that psalm, as I'm quickly trying to get to it. Okay, glory God. Amen. 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 Those of you that are the voice of the Lord upon the waters, Psalm 29. We're talking about that He's the King of the Flood, and we are praying for that continued presence, his continued presence. We're praying for the angels that are assisting even in this, even in the rescuing. We come against the spirit of fear. We're praying for there to be a clear revelation that eternity is moving in this to bring rescue and lost lives to a minimum, and that this hurricane will return to the seas, to the waters, and that there will just be abundance of life and safety. So we continue to cover that area with our prayers. We continue to call forth even more angels to go, myriads of angels go and assist in this to turn the waters to save the lives and to encourage the people, even in the midst of this terror that man, the weather, is releasing upon their lives. So we thank you, Father, for your presence in their midst. We thank you that you are keeping them in this hour. We thank you that what the weather forecasters are saying is not necessarily what you are saying. So we turn our ear toward you, and we continue to intercede on behalf of the people and that land, and that out of it all, your glory and your victory will be realized and it will be expressed. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you once again. Thank you for being on board. I continue to pray over your day, that your day will be victorious, and that you will just continue to press into that place that God has called you in this hour. It's an exciting time. It is a great time. And so I celebrate you in this time. Amen. Those of you that would be interested in sowing a seed, you can do that by sending it to paypal.me/DianeChappelle, or you can cash app at $Gatekeeper. That's GATEKEYPR. Or my email is apostledie1043@gmail.com. Listen, have a glorious day. Have a glorious week. We will continue this on next week. I believe God is digging deep in this getting us to understand this perceived disruption that has seemed to be arresting us. But understand that he's just stirring his nest so that the eagles can get out and soar. So until next week, God bless you. We'll talk to you and some.